Hi, and welcome to the Salvation Army Southwest podcast. You'll find engaging messages here, so please go ahead and listen and check out some of our other messages and enjoy what you hear. You can always follow us online on our Facebook page or go to our website to find out more information. Thank you for listening.
Love in action. What a great theme that will be. You know what? It's great to be back. Okay, three people are happy we're back. I'll mention something to the divisional commander and he might get you someone else then. Fine. No, it's good to be back. You know when you go away... Oh, thank you. Now I feel so much better. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I'm glad you missed me. I missed you all. Do you know when you go away, actually, and you sleep in a different bed and you shower in a different shower and then you come home and you sleep in your own bed? I say this all the time. All the time. But when you sleep in your own bed and then you have... It's that welcome home. I feel like I've come home again. So it's good. It's good to be back here and to catch up with you. I can tell you, Zoe and I got good rest. It's the longest time we've ever had off since we started officership. So that was exciting for us. In the middle of it, we did get COVID. So we were locked up in our house, which, oh, shame. You know, I wasn't upset about that. Well, I was sick, but, you know. I was at home, and it was good just to be at home and just to do some stuff around the house, like the paving my wife wanted and the lawn mowing and the fixing of this and the fixing of this. I could say that because she's not in the room. Then I got COVID and didn't do anything else, so it was great. And then laid on the couch and watched Netflix for a bit. It was restful, and it was good. Turn to someone and tell them, this is your year. Oh, I'm glad you haven't lost the touch. That was a test. I just wanted to know if you were going to do it, if out of the 5 weeks that I've been away, you got used to not actually sharing things with each other, you know. You know, this is our year as a church. I believe that. I believe that new ministries are going to take place. I believe that God is going to provide in ways that we didn't think possible. I believe that God's going to change people's lives from the inside out and transform them. I believe that we're going to develop as a church. We're going to grow in our discipleship. We're going to grow in our walks with God. I also believe that we're going to grow in numbers as well. Because I don't believe that God would give us a chair if he didn't have someone to sit on it. Make sense? So I believe all of this is going to happen. And what a great way to kind of remind us of this idea of this is our year, then looking at a series, the self-denial series, and the theme of love in action. I love this idea of love in action. If there was a prayer that I could pray for you right now, it would be that you would be people full of love. That everything you do, your actions is motivated by love. Right? And so a love for our community, a love for those who need to know Jesus, a love for each other, a love in serving one another, a love in just being with people, a love for those doing it tough, a love in our giving, a love in everything, and a love for our church. I love my church. Do you love this place? Yes. I think it's the best church in Australia, if not the galaxy, but you know, like, do you love this place? Do you get excited when you get to come here like that? I love this place. I almost came here on my holidays a few times. Actually, when I started my holidays, I was here the very next day anyway, because I love the place. Right? I love the place. And we want to be people that shows our love, that actions it out with people. So we're going to start this series, Love in Action, Self-Denial Series, OSIMS, if you know it that way around, for 2024. And we do a... overseas offering every year. We're going to do that in 5 weeks or so, 4 weeks, five, I don't know, whatever it is. A few weeks time, we'll make the envelopes available just beforehand. But I want to say this, and I say this every year. I want to say this. If you think we're trying to brainwash you into giving some money, if you think I'm trying to trick you out of your money, if you think that, the church is going again, talking about money, talking about this, talking about giving, if you you know, that's all they talk about. If you're thinking anything like that, then don't give. You have my full permission not to give. Right? Don't do it. We don't want it anyway if you're going to give like that. It's grumpy money, and God could do much more with cheerful money than he can do with grumpy money. Amen? Amen. Right. In fact, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, I think they're going to come up on the screen. I think I put them in there. Oh, yeah, I did. Look at that. I haven't lost the touch. It says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly also reaps sparingly, and whoever sows generously will reap generously. Can I tell you, God has proven that in my life over and over and over and over again. Over and over and over again, right? And then it says this, each of you, this is verse 7, each of you should decide to give, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart. So I can't tell you what to give. I can encourage, but I can't tell you. I can't force you to do it. You've got to decide that for yourself, right? Decide what to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. So in other words, don't give us your grumpy money. That's Mark's translation of that. For God loves a cheerful giver. Right? So we are going to talk about giving today. It is a giving series. Right? So we're going to talk about that. But before we do, let's pray. Because I'm going to need it. I feel a bit rusty. I haven't done it for a while up here, you know. I'm playful too. I'm feeling a bit rusty, so I need to pray and then we can get into the scriptures. You good with that?
Yes.
Great. Father God, we are humbled right now just at how awesome you are. You're the only God that is living. You died on a cross and then rose again. You are in control of all things. You provide for us. You are there for us. You know how many hairs are on our heads. And the fact that you know all things just lets us know that you're a God in control. Even when things feel like they're out of control in our lives, you are in control. And regardless of where we are at today, regardless of what's happening in our lives, you are worthy of all the praise. There's so many reasons today to praise you, to thank you, God. And so as we celebrate today, as we look at this scripture, we just want to praise you. So Lord, speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, speak to our souls, speak to our spirits. Don't let the enemy steal what is going to be put in our hearts today from you. Lord, do an amazing work in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've got your Bibles, open them up to John chapter 12. I have preached on this story, but from a different book. I preached it from Mark's book, but I want to highlight something out of this book. And just to set this up, can I ask a quick question? Who's ever been to the doctors? If you haven't got your hand up, you're so healthy. God bless you. What's your secret if you haven't? Have you ever been to the doctors and, you know, they start pushing in bits, right? You know, some of us have more bits to push in than others. But you they started pushing in something and you just go, "Ooh, that hurt." And the doctor goes, "That's not meant to hurt. We better investigate that." Yeah? All right, as I preach today, I'm going to push on a couple of things. And if it hurts, don't blame Dr. Mark for the pain, right? Don't blame Dr. Mark for the pain. It is God saying something to you. So if this hurts today, then just go to him about it, not me, right? Can I say that? Don't blame Dr. Mark. I'm just doing a bit of a test. In fact, that's what the title of my session is today. Why don't you turn to someone and tell them, it's just a test. It is just a test. It is just a test. Here we go. You ready? Oh, man, I've missed this. I miss getting to hang out with you guys. And anyway, let's open the Bible. Let's do this. Verse 1. 6 days before Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Verse 2. Having here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor, Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Now, if you read this in Mark's version of the gospel, we happen to know that they're at Simon the leper's house. So they're at Simon the leper's house. Simon's there. The disciples are there. Jesus is there. Lazarus is there. And they're partying like it's 1999. They're reclining on their lounges. They got their feet up. They probably got their cocktails in their hand. Mocktails, of course, not cocktail, mocktails. You know, a little umbrella on the side. Martha's in the kitchen cooking her honey chicken barbecue wings. Life is good, right? They're laughing. They're joyous. They're having a celebration, right? Verse 3. Then Mary took a pint of pure nard, on an expensive perfume, she poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the whole house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. This right here is a beautiful act of worship. Right? This is an amazing act of worship, a beautiful thing. You see, what we used to have, let me give you the background, right? What used to happen is they would, the women, as girls, they were growing up, and they would collect and put this, like, perfume, and it would solidify, it was solid, right? And they would put it in a jar, and normally it was nard, right? And it is in this case. And so they would put it in the jar up until the day they got married. And then when they got married, then they would use a little bit of that as deodorant, make themselves smell good for their husbands, right? That was what the purpose of it was. They would collect it as a child growing up, kind of like the old-fashioned, you know, is it the glory boxes where you used to put all the pots and pans and things and you build it and then you got married and that was what you... Same principle, right? They did it with the perfume. And she had collected a lot of it, enough for a whole year's wages. And so she's got this pure nard sitting there. Must have been hot because it wasn't solidified. She pours it out according to John. Mark, it's slightly different, but it's there, right? And it's a year's salary. I want you to imagine this scene, right? Just imagine... this thing. Put yourself in the story right here, right? Because here's Martha in the kitchen. She's cooking her honey barbecue chicken wings, right? She's doing the preparation. She's got it all going. Then you've got Simon the leper. You've got Lazarus who's there. You've got Jesus, the disciples. They're all reclining on the couches. They're partying. They're laughing. And they're just going nuts, right? And there's Mary seeing it all. And she's listening to the laughter. And she's listening to what was going on. And she's remembering what happened in John chapter 11 versus John chapter 12. Because this is John chapter 12. You see, in the chapter before, Lazarus is dead. He's in the grave. In fact, dead for 4 days. In this day and age, if you're dead for 4 days, your body's decomposing and you smell bad. Very bad. And he was dead for 4 days. Body parts were starting to fall off, kind of deal, right? And he's wrapped in his grave clothes and he's in the tomb and the stone is put there and sealed because they used to seal it to stop the smell from coming out, right? And then Jesus comes along and Jesus gets to the town of Bethany, and he walks in and Lazarus is in the grave and Jesus says, Lazarus, come out of the grave. And all of a sudden, Lazarus starts to breathe again. Lazarus comes back to life. He looks at these grave clothes that he's got on and he starts to unravel it. I don't know if he walked out naked or whether he had other clothes to change into. I don't know. I'll find out when I get to heaven. But he was there and he walks out of the tomb alive. And then all of a sudden, they're having a party for Jesus because he's done this. Lazarus is there and Mary's going along. I can't believe it. My brother was dead. Now he's alive. He's alive. He's here. Jesus brought him back to life, brought him back to the... And she can't hold it in anymore. She has to thank Jesus. And so she starts looking around going, what have I got? What have I got that even compares to what he's done for me? And she's looking around going, oh, here it is, pure nard. Here we go. Let's pour this on Jesus. Let's anoint Jesus. Let's give this to Jesus because this is all I've got to give. This is it. And she pours it on his feet and wipes it up with her hair. Now, I don't know if it's Mark's version says head and feet. So meaning the whole body, whether it was just the... It doesn't really matter. She took this expensive gift, something worth a year's salary. Just think about how much you earn and then pretend you give that away for a whole year. She's done this. It's an extravagant gift. It's an over-the-top gift. It's a special thing for Jesus. And she does this. The smell would have been just, oh, can you imagine it? That much perfume, a year's worth of perfume, just in your house. I reckon the neighbors would have smelt it. And because we're talking about giving, let me just quickly recap for you the three levels of giving. And there are three levels of giving, right? She's given extravagantly here. That's level three. Let's go back to level one. Level one is when you give of your tithes and offering. Or your tithes, I should say. Your tithes. That's level one. Malachi 3, verse 10 says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there will be food in my house, God says. Whole tithe. That's 10%. That's go and find a local church, become part of the local church, and then 10% of what you make goes to the local church. 10% tithe. That's what tithe means, is 10%. That's level one. This is the base level, right? So if you earn $1,000 a week, you've got to give $100 a week. If you earn $100 a week, you've got to give $10 a week. If you earn $1, you've got to put 10 cents in. That's what it is, a tithe, 10%. First 10% goes to God. You get to keep the other 90%, right? That's tithes. That's base level, level one. Then there's offerings. That's level two. Offerings is, you know, where you give to causes, give to things. You might see someone who's in need and you give them something, or you might see something happening there. That's on top of your tithe. So whatever you give on top of your tithe, you know, that's level two. And then level three is just this extravagant gift kind of level, right? It's gifts to Jesus that are massive for you and don't make sense to everyone else, right? And I don't mean big and extravagant in the sense of dollar-wise and value. I mean big and extravagant in relation to who you are and what you have. For people in Uganda, it's going to look very different to people in Australia. Yeah? Because different levels. It's relative. It's relative. Remember the widow in Luke 21? You know, she puts the two mites into to the offering, and two mites back in that day and age was like an hour's wages, maybe, if that. It was nothing. But for that woman, it was everything. And Jesus commends her for it. Remember that story? Yeah. Luke 21? Right. It's all she had. It was extravagant for her. And so it's not based on how much you give or what the level of it is. It's based on where your heart is in relation to that and what it actually means. It's sacrificial for you. It does cost you, kind of thing. And this day, Mary, right, seeing all of this take place, the laughter, the partying, Jesus, his brother being there, dead, now alive, just wants to give to Jesus. And she goes straight to level three and just goes, here it is. And gives it out to Jesus. Such a beautiful act of worship. Let's move on. Verse 4. But, say but. There's always a but, isn't there? There's always a but. But one of his disciples, that's Jesus' disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Can I say, when we are living our life for God, when we start to make the values of the kingdom of God the values of our life instead of the values of the world, when we start to give to him, when we start to follow him, when we start to choose Jesus over everything, when we start to give to the church, when we start to do all of this, right, people are going to start to question and object because they don't understand it, right? They're going to object, and so he objects. You know, when we realize Jesus really has brought us out of darkness into his wonderful light, when we realize he saved us from our sins and shame, we get to go to paradise, when we realize all that and we start to do these things, people will object. People will look at us sideways and go, why are you following something you can't see? Why are you doing this? Why are you? And they will object. Don't do that. You need that. Right, people will object, and they don't understand because the model of the world is to look after yourself. The model of the world is to do what makes you feel good. The model of the world is to look after your own interests instead of the interests of others. Don't get me wrong, we should plan our futures. We should be wise with our money. We should look after our households and families before we start to go. Absolutely. But the world says, no, build your own future. You look after number one. Do what it is for you and you alone. And so it's Judas, one of Jesus' disciples, who says, Jesus, I object. Then he adds verse 5. Why wasn't the perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It's worth a year's wages. You know what? If we were there in that day and age and we didn't know the rest of this story, that's a good question. Why wasn't it sold and given to the poor? I mean, doesn't Jesus teach that we should look after the poor? Isn't he all about, you know, making sure everybody's equal and you know? It's a good question. To look after the orphan, the widow, to look after those doing it tough and act. Why not give it to the poor? It's a good question, right? And if we're honest, we may ask questions like this. Why are we giving to overseas mission when there's people in Australia that we need to look after? Or we need to look after my own house. I can't look after, I can't do this. I can't do this. And so it's a good question to ask. And I wish I had an absolute answer for you that made perfect sense. All I know is Jesus is smarter than me. And he knew something that I didn't know if I didn't know the rest of this story. But I do know the rest of this story, so the answer's just about to come. But if we were there in this day and age, we don't have all the information, but God has it. Verse 6, here's the information. This is the verse I've been trying to get to the whole entire time. He, being Judas, did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. There it is. That's the information we need. He was a thief. So instead of actually giving the money to the poor, he was thinking, we'll give half of it to the poor and I'll keep the other half. I'll just help myself to the money bag. I'll just take what I want for myself. And then verse 7, Jesus says, leave her alone. Jesus replied, it was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. And it's kind of interesting because this is where he's anointed for his death. Most of the time people would die, then they would anoint the body, wrap it up in cloth and put it in the tomb. But when Jesus died, remember, it was really late in the afternoon. And so they quickly put him in the tomb. And then the women went to the tomb early Sunday morning with spices to anoint the body. Well, Jesus had already been anointed. This was the practice. So the anointing actually happened before he died. So she's now remembered for that. Again, stuff we know because we know the rest of the story. But Jesus says, leave her alone. It was intended for me. And this is such a beautiful story. And what caught my attention was not necessarily the fact that Mary gave this extravagant gift. What caught my attention in the story is that Jesus knew that Judas was a thief and still left the money bag with him. Why would Jesus leave the money bag with someone he knows is a thief? Jesus knew Judas's heart. He knew that Judas was still looking after number one, was only interested for himself. So as the keys come up and help me wind this down, I've got a little bit to go, but just, you know, maybe just strings, I don't know, you work it out. Could it be, let me ask you this question. Could it be that Jesus has given you resources and given you nice things and given you money to see what you would do with it? Because I think that's what he did with Judas, is he let him have the money bag to see what he would do with it. Is it possible that Jesus has given you resources and nice things to see what you would do with it? Is it possible that God is testing you and me? Is it possible? Because I don't see what people give and don't give. I don't have access to that information. If you pay via direct debit like Zoe and I do, or if you put your in an envelope, I have no idea. I don't see that information. Our office administrator knows it, but I don't. But I can tell you studies Australia-wide, worldwide, that in churches there are people that don't even fulfill the base level of giving in their tithes and offering. They might do 2%, 3%. They might justify it somehow. They might say, oh, we give 2% here, but the other 8% goes here and here and here. But actually, that's not what the Bible says. It says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. And Malachi 3, if we go back a couple of those verses from the verse I read before, Malachi 3, verses 8, 9, and 10, it says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. This is God saying that. But you say, how have we robbed you? And God answers in tithes and offering. God goes on to say, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even the whole nation. And then verse 10, that verse that I read earlier, you know, bring the whole tithe, bring the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And then he adds this, and then, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessings that you will not have enough room to store it, to receive it. See, church, I've always read this idea that if you don't give to the church, that we're actually robbing from God. But here's the thing, God owns it all anyway. Everything is his. When we give 10%, he allows us to have the other 90. Really, we're not giving God 10%. He's actually just saying, put that aside. Actually, it's all mine, 100%. I'm going to let you have 90% of it. See, it's the other way around. And the truth is, even if we dig our heels in and say, we're not going to give, our God is the God who owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He owns it all. And with the click of his fingers, he can make things happen that couldn't happen before. And he's the God that makes ways when there's no ways. He's the God who could do anything in our lives. And if God wanted to do something, he will do it, regardless of whether you give or not. So it has nothing to do with God's work in our world. What we give has nothing to do with it at all. You cannot give or not give and determine what the church does. That's God's job. So what is it talking about when it says we rob God? And then I realized we're not robbing God of resources. We're robbing God of the joy of giving back to us. You see, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse and see that there's food in my house, God says. And try me in this. It's the only time he says, test me. Some versions have test me in this. The Lord of hosts says, if, and that's God talking, if God will not open the window of heaven and pour out such blessings that there will be not enough room to receive it. See, God wants us to give to him so that he can go, right, I'm going to give back to you. And it's not a magic formula where we go, here's my 10%, God, now give me what I want. That doesn't work that way. Because it's a heart thing, remember? It's a heart thing. And so he's testing today our hearts, pushing in a little bit. And if it hurts, then, oh, it's not meant to. Don't blame Dr. Mark. But are we robbing God of this? That's the question. You see, what's our attitude? What's our, when we come to it? Like, the self-denial pill's coming up and we're going to give to this. Absolutely. And for Zoe and me, we believe in this appeal. We believe in the work that happens. And we're going to see over the weeks some of the things that happen. But I thought right at the start of this, we need to have a heart check. Make sure the attitude's right. Make sure we know. Because when I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me, and when I see his hands, his wounds and his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree, on that cross that day, his body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in this man Joseph's tomb, and the entrance was sealed with a heavy stone, Messiah still and all. He took our place in death so that we could have life. He's brought us out of the tomb like Lazarus out of the tomb. He's done the incredible work in us. And I don't know about you, but I just want to stand to my feet and say, Jesus, thank you. We praise you. We praise the name of Jesus. And everything inside me goes, whatever I've got, God, you can have. You want my life? Take it. You want my money? Take it. You want it? Because I know that I'm going to be in paradise with him. See, it's a heart conditional thing. It has nothing to do with what I have or don't have. And the truth is, when our hearts are wired and directed to him, I can't outgive God. I've tried. It doesn't work. He's got a bigger shovel that's shoveling stuff back. I kid you not. But you got to have your heart right. Oh, praise the name. Stand to your feet. Oh, praise the name. If you've got breath in your lungs, praise the name. Sing with everything you've got. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Can we sing the chorus? Praise the name. Stand to your feet. If you've got breath, let's sing. Oh.